This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center. I'm with Geeta Kandaya from CAS International. Online marketplaces are ideal for brand owners as it is one of the most cost-effective business strategies at this time in 2019, even before COVID-19. The internet economy in Southeast Asia hit the $100 billion mark in gross merchandise value, a nearly 40% increase compared to 2018. But as more people shop online during this pandemic, counterfeit goods are bound to follow. Hence, Geeta is here to tell us all the intricacies about it. Nice to be speaking to you, Geeta. So we touch on the internet economy hitting the $100 billion mark in Southeast Asia in 2019. But what does this mean on the whole? You know, and are certain verticals doing better than others?
Yes. Thanks, Frida, for having me over. And yeah, it has improved immensely, as you talked about the $100 billion mark in Southeast Asia. And can you imagine, Frida, that this was before the pandemic?
I know I helped contribute to it.
You and maybe the whole female population.
Right.
So it's the fact that the stats are so high before the pandemic, and the pandemic just pushed everyone online. The estimated forecasted internet economy for 2025 is a whopping $300 billion. So the potential is huge, and the verticals that have done really well. Actually, before the pandemic, it was online travel, all the Airbnb, all the flights and traveling, and online media. So those are the two verticals that were doing really well before the pandemic. Online media is still doing well. Digital marketing has gone, I think, up the roof, broken the roof as well.
Right.
But online travel has been affected maybe due to the lockdown and travel restrictions.
Right. Okay, we'll find a way around it. So and of course, this is expected to grow.
Yes. It's expected to grow. So the reason that there's so much of growth, right, really interesting. There was an economy Southeast Asia report, and this 2019 report. Although it was done before the pandemic, the report revealed some really interesting things, and it was done by Google, Temasek, and Bain & Company. So these three large corporations have a lot of resources as well. So that's why actually the data that this report brings up is really interesting. So some of the reasons that there was so much of why the estimated growth is $300 billion US dollars is because of a few factors. So one thing is mobile internet is turning and changing the landscape of Southeast Asia. Like there's 360 million internet users in the region. 90% of them connect to the internet primarily through the phone.
Right.
And that's you and me as well. So that's huge. Okay, number one is everyone's on the phone, so that immediately means everyone's using internet and they're doing all this online commerce and various things online that connects you from one thing to another thing, pretty much connects seller and buyer. Then the other thing that this report reveals is that there's faster internet speed. And that's really interesting. I mean, we always felt Southeast Asia are developing countries and our speed's a lot slower from Korea and US and so on. But four countries, so Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, and Philippines, were shown to be growing at 20 to 30% annually in terms of their internet economy, the growth. And the other two countries that were performing way better than these four countries, and again, if business owners are listening in, it's really important because it also indicates if you want to be in business online, is your business, you need to be in these countries. But the other two countries are Indonesia and Vietnam, where their internet economy rate has been growing at a rate of 40% each year.
Wow. And they're big countries, huh? These are the...
You're right. Population-wise, Indonesia beats everyone. But Vietnam, apart from just being big, right? Vietnam is very fast-moving. When you go to Ho Chi Minh, you go to Hanoi, you see businesses are moving at a rapid pace.
Right.
So these are really top countries that you need to be investing in if your business is online or you're looking at consumers who are searching online. So the other thing that this report revealed is that a lot of business owners online are now, instead of acquiring new customers, they are focusing on driving engagement. And how do they do that? They have mechanisms in place where they convince users to stay on your platform for longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether, Frida, you recognize this, but like when you're on Shopee, you're in Doublewood, or in Lazada, there's always various things being thrown at you. So you're shopping for one thing, then you suddenly get distracted by another thing, and then you get offers thrown at you.
Right.
It's all of these are tactics done by companies. So they're not just looking at, hey, what new traffic flow that's coming to that website or that specific online purchasing site, like e-commerce site, but also how do we keep traffic on our site for longer? So, and the rationale behind this is time is money. Yeah. The more time someone stays on my site, the chances of them purchasing more things is higher. So that was what was revealed by this report. And another two factors that that's proven to be the reason for the growth that's estimated is that fintech, the adoption of digital payments is growing at a fast speed. In fact, they said it will cross $1 trillion by 2025. And when it does, at that point in Southeast Asia, it means that every $2 spent, $1 of the $2, 50% is paid online, which is through fintech. And the last one, which I think will be very encouraging for business owners, is that funding is still on a healthy growth. Despite the crazy landscape they were now in, they still forecast a lot of capital being plowed into the internet economy. So for that reason, like those factors are the reasons the internet economy in Southeast Asia is really on a boom.
Okay. Now, how has COVID-19 affected the internet economy, though?
So the online travel platforms, we touched on this just now a bit. The online travel platforms, they were growing, but they have been negatively affected. It doesn't help with all these lockdowns, and not just certain regions, it's the whole country, the whole world. And then you have social and travel restrictions. So you see that lockdowns are being lifted, but there's still a lot of restrictions in place. You can't sit next to a person in a flight, and also where can you travel to? Not all borders are open. So all of that really puts a hamper into users, you and me, in planning your travel, planning any, journeys abroad. Oh, locally is fine, but that's affected. So online travel, because online travel platforms are used heavily for that. Also, ride-hailing apps. And these are the Ubers, the Grabs, all of those are affected as well. Even though that you find many people preferring to do Grabs food, or use hailing apps for food. When you speak to the delivery person, they'll say that actually it was a lot better when they were driving people around as opposed to delivering food. The income is just higher in terms of when they were ride hailing. But the good news is, okay, so COVID affects those two fields, but you have other fields that's just grown in terms of economy and growth and income, and these are online communication platforms. You're looking at the Zoom, the Google Meet, the Microsoft Teams. Very interestingly, Zoom has been said to earn to have 10 million users per day in December 2019. And that's exactly when it hit, right? And the world went crazy in January. And so 10 million per day, yeah? And in April 2020, they had 200 million users per day.
Wow.
So it's if you talk about
how many fold is that, right?
Overnight success or over month success,
right?
Microsoft Teams as well. Even though Zoom is used more often, in March 2020, Microsoft Teams had grown 1,000%. Not even 100%, it's 1,000%. So you've got the online communication platforms that are doing well. The social media platforms, TikTok, Insta, FB, all also because people have more time on these platforms. Then you've got the e-commerce platforms, which is encouraging to a lot of brick-and-mortar companies, which actually still have an avenue to sell online. These are the Lazadas of the world, Amazon, Shopee. So these are the industries, the three main ones that are flourishing during this pandemic.
Right. Okay. And I guess along with that, the worry is also counterfeit products, which is our discussion. We're talking about how e-commerce is hot thanks to the pandemic. There are risks out there. We'll discuss that in just a moment with Geeta Kandaya from CAS International. Stay tuned to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Busy finding money. BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Center. Good morning. Frida Liu here. Geeta Kandaya from CAS International. We're talking about e-commerce, how it is growing thanks to the pandemic, but there are risks out there. You know, earlier we talked about how obviously online travel has been affected, but you know, I think we will bounce back. But because we were all at home, we were doing a lot more shopping. And the fact with business owners, there's this issue of counterfeit products, right? So many of us have been hitting, you know, the online stores during this period out of sheer necessity. What are the rights and risks involved as a buyer?
Right. So as a buyer, we are very concerned about the quality of products that we buy, especially if you're consuming it.
Mm.
So these are products, skincare products, anything that you consume. So you're looking at supplements, anything that will affect your health. There's a high level of risk if it's not coming from the true manufacturer, from the source itself.
Right.
So that could cause harm, and this has been proven. There's been situations where counterfeit products actually cause problems in skincare, and if it's electronical goods or safety goods, kind of like baby seats or car seats, all of these are very dangerous if they're counterfeit goods. Mm. And so this causes harm if that's the nature of the good.
Mm.
And the reason is they don't do any testing. Mm. They are just copying the brand and copying the look and feel of the product, but not the actual quality and safety mechanisms in the product.
Mm.
Also, they also undermine the reputation of the brand owners.
Right.
And, you know, for over the pandemic, there's been a lot of cases of counterfeit. China itself has been, there's been a lot of news about China confiscating millions of counterfeit face masks.
Mm.
And what's the point wearing a counterfeit face mask? I mean, might as well not wear a mask if it doesn't serve its needs. So then you have that risk of health again.
Right.
And,
okay.
And also data shows that online searches, when you're searching for something to purchase online, chances are very high that what the sites lead you to, the searches lead you to, is to counterfeit goods.
Hmm.
So there are mechanisms, and we can talk about that later on how to identify whether it's counterfeit goods.
Hmm.
But it's a huge risk as a buyer because you are spending the money on a brand that you think you're buying. So you have to be very careful out there, to be very aware.
Where you're buying it from as well. I mean, as much as possible from the original site in a way, right? And I guess, like, okay, that's the concern for the buyer. There are also the rights and risks of the seller as well.
Yeah, I mean, it affects the sellers. They would like to argue a lot more because it affects your rice bowl, right?
Mm.
So they face a lot of this, especially big brands. Big brands will have a tarnishment of image if anything goes wrong, because the counterfeit products, if a person buys it thinking that it comes from the original original manufacturer and suffers from it, then they'll tarnish the image of the big brand. And big brands lose lots and lots of income from counterfeit goods. But it's not just the big brands. You're also looking at local brands. I've actually had clients, local companies, come to me saying that, oh my God, someone's copying my brand.
Mm.
The thing is, when you grow really fast online, the risk is there that others are noticing this and would like to also, hey, let me get some of your market share.
Yeah.
Let me also tap into the market. And it's very easy, actually. I've seen clients who have counterfeit products on Shopee, on Lazada, and there are mechanisms to take them off. But the fact that this is happening to local brands is something that's worrying as well for sellers.
Mm.
So what sellers can do is they can set up a monitoring program.
Mm.
Large companies do this all the time. You know, once I was talking to a Disney in-house counsel, and they have an online monitoring program and an offline monitoring program. Offline means they do on-ground monitoring whether anyone's selling counterfeit Disney products.
Mm-hmm.
And online means online, on all e-commerce online, are there counterfeit products being sold with the Disney brand?
Right.
So that can be done through specific companies that actually do online monitoring brand protection, where they actually detect. And these are all through software, yeah? Software
okay.
detect counterfeit, use of counterfeit, a use of brand on counterfeit products. So that can be done in a very professional manner. And of course, you pay a fee to these companies.
Right.
But for local sellers or for companies that are growing, then they can't afford that.
Mm.
So they can have their own team do it. So
okay.
having a practice and being vigilant is very important. Because you do so much of marketing. Very important, we also control that the market share of all that marketing is for your company, not for someone else's company.
Right.
So
okay. So ways you can do that is have an internal team do this? Yeah. Okay.
So I have an internal team, and then there's mechanisms. They can have searching for keywords that allow them to find counterfeit products for their own brand.
Okay.
Search for their own brand in multiple platforms. Search for words like inspired. You know, like M&G inspired, Zara inspired, Adidas replicas. So you know the thing that you find, those kind of inspired replica, like those kind of words next to your brand is an indication, hey, wait a minute, is this my product out there?
Okay.
Another thing to do is if you're overseas, you know, we talked about Southeast Asia, hey, it's still rising thriving manners, then you should actually consider searching for your brand in local dialects, in local languages. So Bahasa Indonesia, in Vietnam, Vietnamese, because that's another way you'll find counterfeit products as well. So there are mechanisms where you can have your own team, make sure that you do this regularly. Because the stronger the brand gets, there'll definitely be copycats.
Right.
So that's what you can do.
Okay. So how would you suggest sellers or brand owners begin this online monitoring process?
So there are three places online that you need to monitor, actually. You've got e-commerce platforms, which is where probably the main focus is. A lot of companies have gone to e-commerce. Then you have social media sites, such as the Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. You know what's interesting? That how much a sale is done on the social media sites. So that's also kind of an e-commerce platform.
Right.
And then you've got domain names. So domain names and websites are internet real estate, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of like your brick and mortar shop. This is my shop. So they need to monitor this tree, which is the e-commerce site, the social media site, and the domain name. Because sometimes people get funny and they do tricky stuff. Like they'll put a domain name that sounds like yours, but it doesn't belong to you. And then they steal traffic that way.
Any stories around that?
Oh, so many. There's been a company, a local company, and they had an Iranian register the domain name, and they're driving traffic to their website. So we had to file a complaint with the KLRCA, Kuala Lumpur. Actually, they've been renamed themselves. It's the Asian International Arbitration Center. And we actually had to submit arguments showing that our client owns the brand, and that's why they own their domain name. This other domain name does not belong to our client, so have it transferred back to us. And there's a lot of evidence that you need to bring to actually prove that you are the true trademark owner. So you have to show that you have a registered trademark. You have to show that that party is taking traffic and is misleading people. And they have bad faith. They have no reason to use that brand because that brand is my brand. Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah, domain name disputes are interesting.
Okay.
So back to e-commerce sites, right? So a lot of sellers are on e-commerce. So let's help business owners who are selling online. Is important is for them to look whether the platform that they're selling in has a special registration system. Sometimes they have a registration system. You can put your brand in, saying that this is my brand. I have registered this trademark. So that when later on there's any counterfeit product, there's an easier way to take down this counterfeit product. There's a takedown mechanism. So a takedown mechanism is where you file a complaint to any of the e-commerce sites. Lazada, Shopee, most large e-commerce sites have this in place. Where a takedown notice or a complaint is filed, they will then investigate whether do you actually own your own brand and is there a counterfeit product on the marketplace. And they'll actually do investigation. They have legal teams internally to do an investigation because they also don't want to upset other sellers. You can't simply take down someone else's shop and then it's a genuine product.
Right.
So they're very careful in whether exercising this takedown. And the reason is really important all these e-commerce sites have this mechanism is because if with knowledge they allow the infringing, the counterfeit product to remain on their site, that would be an act of infringement. So even the e-commerce platforms can be dragged to court.
Right.
I was going to say, if they have take down notice mechanism, that shows that they're allowing others to report when in that infringing products or counterfeit goods online.
Okay. Now, if complaints persist on that specific seller, right, and they're still continuing, what happens then?
Oh, good question. This is where social media sites and e-commerce sites get angry and they block the seller. So there goes the business, right? So
yeah.
It's very dangerous. They actually block you for a certain period of time. You can appeal, but you don't have any avenue to sell on that e-commerce platform anymore. Until the appeal is allowed and the timeline where they blocked you, you then pretty much lose your e-commerce platform to sell. And you have then a certain amount of time where you can't actually sell. Once that time period ends, you can appeal and you can be back online. But for that period, you have no sales.
Okay, so as a buyer as well, what should we be aware of? You know, like, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true.
Yes, so that's when your Adidas shoe is like 20 ringgit or 50 ringgit, you have to start questioning it.
Okay.
So if the prices are too low and you know for sure that the original brand owners do not price things as such, then you know you're paying counterfeit products. Also, you see a lot of volume, large volumes of products with multiple listings. Same supplier, same seller, but multiple listings. Sometimes that's an indication. Also, the seller is not an authorized seller. Sometimes you see large mall. Sometimes those are authorized sellers and also companies that have got reputation that get those kind of branding as well. And seller does not have consistent pricing. So that's another indication. These are for buyers to actually find out if I'm buying a counterfeit product. But you're right, Peter. What you said is true. Wait, this must be too good to be true. That itself is a huge indication that it might be a counterfeit product. I'm going to say the other ways, if you're unsure, and sometimes business owners themselves are unsure because the product, wow, because someone else might have purchased a genuine product from a different country and sell it in Malaysia. And that's not counterfeit product. That's not trademark infringement. That is actually called parallel import. I buy something for cheaper. Maybe it's cheaper in Thailand and Vietnam. Sell it in Malaysia. They sell it in Malaysia, still lower than the price of the exclusive distributor in Malaysia. Okay. And I make my money that way.
And that's allowed?
Yeah, it's not unlawful. It's not unlawful, so it's still competitive marketplace. So there are many ways that sellers can avoid it. There are ways to do it, but you can't sue the person that brings it from another country because he's not doing anything wrong. He's buying it, purchasing it, and selling again. That's trading.
Okay. Any final tips?
Right. So final tip is for sellers and online to monitor their brands online. They can do it internally at a cost-effective way, but make sure to always monitor. If you're marketing online, you should also be monitoring online. And then to be aware of copycats, as you grow bigger and larger in your own industry, in Southeast Asia, there will be copycats, and to take action against them. And this also can be done internally. So don't worry so much of cost, but just be very aware and send letters, warning letters, as long as you register your trademark and you send warning letters against people which are misusing your brand.
Right.
That will keep you getting stronger and stronger in your own market.
Right. You know, I'll tell you something that happened, which is not a counterfeit, which is very interesting, right? There's a particular florist that I like to go to, and I did a search, not a search, right? So I automatically type the name of that florist. And then it goes into a site, right? It gives the first listing on that, the search, will go to another florist. Then I would recognize, it's not that, but they've cleverly tagged it. That's not illegal. It's just, you know, you paid a lot for your SEO, right? You know, I mean, if you're aware of the brand, then you would know how to search for that brand. But if you're not, you know, you think that, okay, you know, this must be the one.
That is a marketing tactic that's unethical. So that marketing tactic is unethical. And we've got some calls, clients asking us whether should they take an action against someone who's doing that. It's not unlawful. You're right. It's not unlawful, but tricky, you know, because this is Florrie's example of yours.
Yeah.
If you had gone to that competitor's website, and that link, below that link, you know, sometimes there's keywords explaining what website that is.
Yes.
If they had put their previous brand in that wording, then that's infringement. Because they're then misrepresenting and pushing you towards their website. So using that as a keyword search, that's not infringement because you're not confused yet.
Right.
It's always on the consumer. Are they being confused? No. When you put that brand into the keyword search, Google keyword search,
right,
and it ends up in a competitor's website, the fact that you're telling me the story shows that you're not confused.
Okay.
But then if you clicked on the competitor's website with a word at the sentence at the bottom that indicates that this is the website you're looking for, that's infringement.
Oh, there's so much intricacies behind this.
This is a very famous case in the UK. Very famous.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Would you like to share that story?
It's to do with Marks and Spencer's, and funnily, it was also a florist.
Okay.
It's exactly what we talked about. It's about can you use it as keyword or can you use it as a description? It was decided that as a keyword, the consumer is not confused. But if you use it in a description underneath a website, before you click on the website, that's going to be confusing to the consumer.
Okay. So, okay, there's a lot to go through. And, you know, you're talking about the internet. Internet e-commerce is on the rise. These are the things that will crop up. Thanks for shedding some light. We're talking about how e-commerce is hot thanks to a pandemic, but there are risks out there. Geeta Kandaya from CAS International. You've been listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.